We're looking at the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John is a book of signs, as we have said before. It is a book of signs, seven signs to be exact, that outline the message of the Gospel of John. These signs are recorded in this gospel for a particular purpose. John records seven signs or miracles that Jesus did for a purpose, and he gives us that purpose, right? In John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. For John understood, right, that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. John is not saying that Jesus only performed seven signs. He says, I know, I was there. Okay, Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Seven signs were given to us by the inspired Apostle Paul, and they were uniquely given to uniquely reveal something significant about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. If you want to know who Jesus is, and you want to know what Jesus came to do, John is saying, look and understand the seven signs that I have given you. John records these miracles and he uses them. He uses them to outline our Lord's days from the beginning of his earthly ministry to his final entry into Jerusalem, going to the cross. These are the seven signs that outline his life. In John chapter 2, Jesus turning the water into wine. There, Jesus is revealed as the full and overflowing revelation of God. And you see in John chapter 2 and verse 11 that this was the first sign. In John 4, we see the healing of the official's son. This reminds us that Jesus is Lord over sickness and sin in this world. And even there, the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 54 that this is the second sign. Then in chapter 5, the healing of the man at Bethesda. Jesus there is revealed as the one who causes the lame to walk. He is the one who enables those who are unable. In John chapter 6, we see the fourth sign, the feeding of the 5,000, and there Jesus is revealed as the bread of life. In John chapter 6, again, we see Jesus walking on the water, and there he is revealed as the Lord of all creation. The sixth sign we saw in John 9, where Jesus gives sight to the blind man, and there Jesus is revealed as the light of the world. Then we come to the seventh sign. John chapter 11, raising Lazarus from the dead. There we are reminded that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Every miracle, each miracle was detailing and revealing something different and important. And in the aspect of the man and the mission, each sign, beloved, get this, each sign increasing the notoriety of Christ, each sign increasing the intensity of the opposition. Everyone liked Jesus when he turned the water into wine. But as we see, as we'll see in the coming weeks, by raising Lazarus from the dead, they had had enough. raising Lazarus from the dead was the last of these recorded miracles and the climactic miracle. It is the one, it is the sign that pushed our Lord's agenda over the edge. The resurrection of Lazarus, beloved, literally led to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus knows this. He knows that this is the tipping point. By raising Lazarus, Jesus knows that he has sealed his fate. And so we saw last week how central the resurrection is, not only for understanding the ministry, the life and ministry of Jesus, but we saw how important and indispensable it is for understanding our lives and living our lives even to this day. So last week we saw that the resurrection is the reason. This week we pick up on that same thing and we look further, more intently, and we say, Lord, take us deeper into the glories of Calvary. Take us deeper into the glories of the resurrection. The resurrection of Lazarus points us to the resurrection of Jesus. Okay? But even more than that, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we are pointed to the promise and the guarantee of the resurrection and restoration of all things. Christ raised Lazarus so that the world might know that resurrection is coming. His, but not only his, but the Bible says that his resurrection is but the first fruits, and our resurrection is the fruit of his resurrection. That's what the Bible says, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. This is what Lazarus is going to show us. Christ came and gave life. At Christmas time, we like to say the birth of Jesus is the reason for the season. And beloved, as we saw last week, if the birth of Christ is the reason for the season, then the resurrection of Jesus is the reason for everything else. Last week, he was the reason for the holdup and the reason for help and the reason for hope. As we continue in this theme, in this chapter, we see that the resurrection now is the reason for joy. Is the reason for faith. The resurrection is the reason for victory. Remember last time as we were in this chapter, we saw that Jesus had deliberately delayed coming to Bethany. And by delaying his coming to Bethany, he had allowed Lazarus to die. Now, Jesus didn't just delay. The Bible tells us that Jesus was 4 days in getting there. And when he had finally reached the town limits, Martha had heard that he had stepped foot in town, and she came out to meet him. And in meeting him, she expressed her sorrow. She expressed her regret. She lamented his delay, and yet still expressed her trust in Jesus. And Jesus, at that moment, reassured her that death was not the final word. Resurrection and life had come, and that God's glory and purposes would have the final word. And in the midst of her sorrow and in the midst of her grief, Jesus came and Jesus was hope. Now, that was the conversation that he had with Martha. This week, we begin looking at the Lord's conversation with Mary. Because you see, Mary was back at the house. And after Martha had had her conversation with Jesus, the Bible says that Martha ran back to the house and told Mary that Jesus had finally arrived, that he had finally come and he wanted to see her. And the Bible says that Mary got up and she left quickly trying to have a meeting with Jesus privately. She wanted to have a private meeting and discussion with Jesus. But beloved, it is important to understand that this was no private matter. Lazarus was well known. Lazarus died publicly. Lazarus was buried publicly. Lazarus was mourned publicly. And therefore, Lazarus was going to be raised publicly. When Mary left to see Jesus, the Bible says that though she tried to sneak out on her own, all those who were with her at the house went with her. They went with her because they thought she was going to the tomb to mourn some more. And they were going to go and mourn with her because they had mourned Lazarus publicly. She wasn't going to the tomb. She was going to see Jesus. And when she reached him, notice again that she expressed the same sentiments that her sister had expressed. John chapter 11, verse 32. Mary says, like Martha, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, no doubt. Do you know this? You know what this is evidence of? No doubt. The sisters had discussed this issue many a times. They done had this conversation. They both had looked at each other on numerous occasions and said, "Where is Jesus?" And no doubt they had rehearsed what they would say when the Lord had finally come. And yet, through her tears, she said what she and her sister had rehearsed to say. "Lord, why did you hold up? our brother would still be here if you had come on time. Well, Jesus answered that question last week, didn't he? And he reminded Martha that the resurrection was the reason for the holdup. But this morning, he's going to show Mary that the resurrection also is the reason for joy. Beloved, Mary comes out to Jesus weeping. Weeping. The Bible says through her tears, she asked Jesus where he had been. She was weeping. Not only was she weeping, but the crowd was weeping. And not only was the crowd weeping, but apparently Jesus himself got caught up in this tear fest. There's a whole lot of weeping going on. And what caused the tears? What caused the tears? Well, beloved, first of all, they wept in grief, didn't they? The grief of losing Lazarus, even after 4 days. The grief was still strong. The mourning was still real. Why? Because, beloved, tears belong to this world. Tears belong to the affairs of this life. The Bible refers to this as the house of mourning. That there is a time to weep. And that we all, at some point or another in our lives, must go down to the house of mourning. If you've never been in that house, just keep living. The pain and loss experienced in this world is real. An unexpected loss. Unexpected loss of a loved one can be emotionally crippling. And not only is it real, but it's contagious. Because weeping leads to weeping. Which leads to weeping. Which leads to weeping. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, right? Weep with those who weep. Jesus knows this. And this is why the Bible tells us that Jesus enters into our grief. He is not standoffish. Jesus is not some other that he cannot be touched with our feelings and our weaknesses and our sorrows and our pain. He enters into our griefs, as Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says. He bears our grief. He carries our sorrows. The poet has said, laugh and the world laughs with you. Weep and you weep alone. No, beloved. No, beloved, you and I, no matter how lonely it seems, we never weep alone. Jesus wept with Martha and Mary. Jesus weeps with you still. He weeps. They wept because of grief. Not only did they weep because of grief, they wept because of disappointment. Tears are often caused by unmet expectations and disappointed hopes. And they had hoped Jesus would get there in time. So part of their tears is not just that they had lost Lazarus, but their tears also is that they were disappointed. Christ hadn't come on time. God hadn't answered prayers. And they were disappointed. They had hoped Jesus would get there. He didn't. They had hoped that God would answer their prayers. He hadn't. And they cried. And Jesus, too, he not only understands the tears of grief, he knows the tears of disappointment, beloved. He knows them. He knows what it means to be disappointed. He knows that in disappointment, tears often result. in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, the Bible says that as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, what did he do? He began to weep. Those were tears of disappointment, beloved. Why? Notice what he says. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. If you had only knew who it was in your midst. If you had only realized that he who has come as your comfort, that he who has come as your peace, that he who has come as your salvation is in your midst. But alas, these things are hidden from your eyes. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. He knows the tears of grief. He understands the tears of disappointment. And so he enters into the sorrow of Mary, and he enters into the sorrow of Martha. But then Jesus also has a sorrow that's all his own. And his tears were not so much of disappointment and grief at this time, but his tears were tears of anger. Tears of anger. Jesus wept because they wept. He wept because of the effects of sin and death. He wept because they wept. And they wept, whether they realized it or not, because of the effects of sin and death upon this world. Sin has scarred the image of God in us, beloved. Death violates the image of God. And when Christ comes, what he sees is the image of God being violated. And he weeps. He knows that death is a thief. Death is an intruder. We were created for eternity. Death comes and interrupts that. Jesus sees the effects of that. And he weeps. He weeps because he knows death is a deceiver, a thief, a corrupter of God's creation. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. This is what Jesus sees. This is what Jesus understands. And what is the effect of this? He is grieved. And look at John chapter 11 and verse 33. The Bible says that he is deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He's not troubled, beloved, simply because Mary and Martha has lost their brother. He is deeply troubled because the image of God has been marred. Because death and sin has troubled God's creation. And so Jesus was troubled. He was angry. He was in angst. But you notice something? Jesus was troubled, but only for a little while. Jesus wept, but only for a little while. There were tears of sorrow and disappointment, but only for a little while. Why? Because even though he had entered into their grief, and even though he had wept, and even though that he had looked death and sin straight in the face and saw the corruption that it brought, Jesus knew that he had come to take the stone away. It's what it says in verse 39, that he had come to take the stone away. Why? Because he had to remove that stone of regret. He was going to remove that stone of heartache. He was going to roll away that stone of loss. He was rolling away the stone of death. Listen, beloved. Weeping and sorrow, pain and loss, they belong to this world. But Jesus and the resurrection promises so much more. This is why the Bible can say in Psalms 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Why? Because Jesus comes to roll the stone away. He's coming to roll the stone away. I love me some Frankie Beverly and Maze. I don't think I ever hit a long trip that I don't turn on. Some of y'all don't even know who I'm talking about. The joy and pain, sunshine and rain. You know what they say? But it's all right. Because they both one in the same. No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they are not. Resurrection says weeping is for a night. Joy is coming in the morning. Resurrection says weeping is part of the corruptible. Joy is part of the incorruptible. Resurrection says weeping is temporary. Resurrection says joy is everlasting. Joy and pain are not both the same thing. One belongs to this temporary life. The other is the promise of eternity. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more what? Death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. For all these things are gone forever. Why? Because Christ comes to roll the stone away. The resurrection, beloved. This is why Jesus can only weep for a little while. He can weep, but only for a little while. Because the stone is getting rolled away. You and I weep. Yes, we weep. Yes, we sorrow. But listen, beloved, we only do it for a little while. Sooner or later, we know. Brother Murph, the stone is going to get rolled away. And joy is coming. And the resurrection is the reason. The resurrection is the reason for joy, but is also the reason for faith. When Martha heard Jesus say, take the stone away. And you know, I can see now Jesus not crying anymore. She's looking at him. He's not crying anymore. There are no more tears when Jesus says, take the stone away. When Martha heard that, the Bible says that she wasn't sure that was a good idea. Wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. I'm not sure moving that stone is a good idea. And Jesus says, don't worry, Martha, I got this. Now listen, beloved. Martha didn't want her brother to die. But since he has been dead four days, let him stay there. Let him stay there, Lord. Let him stay there. In fact, it says in verse 38, chapter 11, in the old King James Version, in fact, Lord, by this time, he stinketh. I mean, he's my brother, and I love him. And she wanted her brother back. But listen, beloved, what she didn't want was a zombie. She didn't want a zombie. And isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that she's thinking in those terms? And the reason she's thinking in those terms is because those are the terms that the world thinks about when it thinks about life after death. All the world can imagine is zombies. That's all the world can imagine. This is why we have this modern fascination with zombies. Zombies everywhere. His fascination with the undead is just amazing, beloved. And the reason this is because there is this innate desire for life after death. It is bound up in the image of God in every human being. But without the resurrection, the best you could do is zombies. Zombies. And that's why they're everywhere. They're in your TV shows. They're in your movies. They're all over your video games. But you know what? The Bible doesn't share our enthusiasm for zombies. And Mary prayed for her brother not to die. But after 4 days, she would rather not have a zombie walking around. But the faith of the resurrection, beloved, the faith that the resurrection produces is not faith in zombies. The resurrection is faith in Christ unto new life, new bodies, new creation. So it will be, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. The one that is raised is imperishable. This is the faith with which Jesus approached the tomb. Y'all didn't catch that. This is the faith with which Jesus approached the tomb. The faith of Jesus. You see, Martha's faith wavered. Mary's faith wavered. This is about Jesus' faith. This is the faith with which Jesus approached the tomb. So he said to them, take the stone away. And then the Bible says in verse 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. This is the point, beloved. The point of Jesus believing is so that they might believe. Listen. The resurrection is not based on the faith of Martha. It is not based on the faith of Mary. It is not even based on the faith of Lazarus. The reason that the resurrection is because of the faith of Christ. His faith and his faithfulness. Jesus believed so that you might believe. Jesus trusted God so that you and I might trust God. And the faith that the resurrection produces is a faith that was found first in Christ. This was the resurrection of Jesus, of Lazarus, but even more so, beloved, this was the resurrection of Jesus. You know what the Bible says? I'm not going to go into it because we don't have time, Pastor Phil. I'm just going to give you the verse and let you marinate on it a little bit. We are justified by faith in Jesus. But in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says also that we are justified by the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus. You just marinate on that for a minute. Beloved, that our salvation is not just because we believe in Jesus, but because Jesus believed. And he believed for us. He believed for Martha. He believed for Mary. But even more so, beloved, he believed for Lazarus. And the reason Lazarus would be raised is because Christ believed. Why you're going to be raised, beloved. That's the reason you were raised in the first place. That's the reason you're going to be raised again. It's because of Christ. That the Father heard Christ. And Christ said, now may they through me also now believe. The resurrection is the reason for joy. The resurrection is the reason for faith. And lastly, but not leastly, the resurrection is the reason for victory. Again, beloved, Jesus did not come to raise zombies. He came to give life. And the life that he was going to give Lazarus was a real life, new life. Victorious life. Because the resurrection is victory. And it's not just any victory, it's a loud victory. It is a loud victory. When he had said these things, as he had prayed, once he had prayed to the Father and trusting that the Father would hear him and knowing that everyone there heard him. When he had said these things, he cried out, the Bible says in verse 43, with a loud voice. Jesus shouted. That's why I keep my voice down this morning. Because I'm going to lose it. Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. The Lord our Savior went from weeping to shouting. He went from weeping to shouting. Listen. Jesus could have whispered. And Lazarus would have heard him anyway. He could have whispered. He could have calmly said, excuse me, Lazarus. Would you come forth, please? And Lazarus would have come forth. But the Lord didn't whisper, beloved. He shouted. He shouted because the triumph of God over sin and death is not done in a closet. It is not done in a vacuum. When Jesus was crucified, he was crucified on a public cross. And when he died, the Bible said he died with a loud voice. Father, it says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he said it with a loud voice. Jesus died loudly, but he rose loudly as well, beloved. He rose loudly as well. And the promise of the resurrection is that when the resurrection comes, it will be loud as well. Loud. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Loud. Loud, beloved. Loud. I'm sorry. I know some of us don't like to shout. I get it. And you get a little uncomfortable when things get a little loud in here. That's okay. Because you know what the Bible says? That the Lord is going to shout for you. He's going to shout for you. If you are not willing to shout, he'll shout for you. And I get it. I know. I'm losing my voice. I know. Because sometimes I get loud. But I'm always thinking that if you can't get loud about the things that Jesus get loud about, what can you get loud about? What you gonna get loud about, beloved? The Falcons? What? Because when God's people get loud, it is shouts of joy. It is shouts of victory. And I know, because I lose my voice, that I find myself having to be careful. I do. I find myself having to be careful when I speak to people, particularly when I speak to my wife or my children or even some of you sometimes, because I can slip into my preaching voice. I look at my wife shaking her head. I can slip into my preaching voice, and it comes off a little louder than it should. And if you've ever been the recipient of that, my apologies. My apologies. But my question is this. When do you ever use your resurrection voice? Do you ever use your resurrection voice? I mean, listen, if I can get loud for a Notre Dame victory, or I can get loud for an Alabama victory, if I can get loud for a Georgia victory, why can't I get loud for a Jesus victory? When will you use your resurrection voice? It's a loud victory. It's a final victory. And I'm on my final strength in my voice. You do know, beloved. Hallelujah. It wasn't enough for Lazarus just to be raised. You see that, don't you? Jesus said, take them clothes off. Take the garments of death away. Take the garments of death and the clothes of death away. As it says in the old King James, death, loose him and let him go. Let him go. There are no zombies here. They're not going to be walking around like he's a mummy. Do you understand me? There is no walking dead. Why? Because, beloved, Jesus didn't come to cheat death. He came to defeat death. He's not cheating death. He's here to defeat it. That's it, beloved. We don't cheat death. You understand that? Saints die. Saints will die. We sit by bedsides. We attend funerals. We miss and mourn loved ones who have left us in this life. We don't cheat death. But we live knowing that death has been defeated. That's why the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He comes and he rolls that stone away. And he says, oh, death, now where's your victory? Oh, death, now where is your sting? He called him by name, didn't he? He called him by name. He called him by name, beloved, so that there's no mistake in identity. This is Lazarus. And when they took the clothes, the grave clothes and the wrappings from his face, you know what they said? Lazarus is alive. Lazarus is alive. Lazarus is alive. And beloved, do you understand what this is saying? When they came to the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away. They looked in there and the angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is alive. He's alive. Death could not hold him down. He is a risen king, seated in majesty. He is a risen king. He is alive. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is alive. I done lost what little voice I had this morning. But thank God for resurrection voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray.